by Pastor Kevin Roberts is brought to you by the Bethany EC Church in Tamaqua, Pennsylvania.
Well, just in case you just woke up, you know that it is Memorial Day weekend. And it is a time where so often we think about parades, we think about ceremonies, we even oftentimes think more about what we're going to eat at those picnics than anything else. And yet it's a time that we remember those who have served and those that are currently serving our great nation. Those that served could tell us, and certainly if you haven't served in the military, you know about that horrendous thing called boot camp, where you really go through a lot of very difficult and rigorous training. Trained in various aspects on how to do battle, enduring various kinds of hardships and difficult circumstances, and that's only boot camp. After that's over and a person is stationed, that is just the beginning, because even more hardships and more difficulties are often faced. One of the challenges that young people face is learning to take orders from somebody. We all know that proverbial person that doesn't want to listen or follow the rules and will say, you know, the best thing they could do is go enlist and let Uncle Sam fix them all up. And you know, it's hard to take orders. And those that have served and have served well certainly know that they must obey what is said. Many people have given many things. Rodney in his testimony talked a little bit, and Ann in her poem, and Rob also shared about what the families go through. You know, being separated from that loved one, whether it's your son or daughter or your husband or your wife or your mom or your dad. There's a lot of emotional stress that goes in there. So there's a lot of sacrifice. Many gave their lives. Many gave up things that they will never be able to regain to give us the freedoms that we enjoy today. You know, the scriptures refer to us as soldiers. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a soldier. The Bible refers to us as soldiers in 2 Timothy, and I'd like you to turn there. Paul talks here in this passage to Timothy and instructing him to be a good soldier. And so if you would turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. Paul says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." My friends, not only is Timothy a soldier, but if you know Christ as your Savior, you are a soldier as well. And this morning in our time together, I want to share three characteristics of a good soldier. And so if you're following along on your outline, characteristic number one says, a good soldier lives faithfully. A good soldier lives faithfully. I want to have you just look in the scripture and kind of browse with me through chapter 1. Paul began this letter to Timothy offering encouragement to him and began by describing his faith. Look at verse 5 of chapter 1. He said, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. In verse 6, he says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, it says, so do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me as his prisoner, but join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Look at verse 13. Paul says, what you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Now recall that Timothy was one who was discipled by the Apostle Paul. That means that the Apostle Paul invested his life and teaching into Timothy. And Paul reminds Timothy of that foundation, of his faith, and how he should live. He is called then to live faithfully. Now here in chapter 2, Paul says, you then as a result of this foundation, you then, my son, as a result of this foundation, I need you to live faithfully. Look what he says in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2. He says, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. My friends, that is discipleship. Living faithfully as a soldier of Jesus Christ. And then taking that faith and imparting it to other individuals. He uses the word strong in verse 1. He says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And as I looked up that word, it basically talks about being empowered. Not in one's own strength, but in the strength that comes through the Holy Spirit. The same word is used in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, which says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Likewise, in Philippians 4:13, the same word is used. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And so the one who seeks to live faithfully does not live faithfully by their own strength and ability. Not at all. It is Christ in us. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to live the life that we are expected to live as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Timothy was to live faithfully through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. He was to be strong in his faith. And my friends, that means we put away our own selfish desires. We need to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit. As I was preparing this message, I thought it was somewhat ironic because back somewhere in early April, our Pioneer Leadership Work Group was creating a few prayer concerns that we're trying to pray for in our various triad meetings and in here in church. It's no accident that every week we pray that our people would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And here, the very text we're using today talks about that filling, talks about that being controlled. And my friend, you cannot live faithfully unless the Holy Spirit is controlling your life. Because we still have that ugly, selfish part of us. Paul is telling Timothy that as a good soldier, you need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, because if you want to make an impact on anyone, be it your family, loved ones, neighbors, in your community, we must live faithfully. That means we must live what we say we believe. There is little or no room for hypocrisy. Chuck Swindoll says this: if you want to mess up the minds of your children, here is a guaranteed way to do it. Rear them in a legalistic, tight, contextual, and external religion where performance is more important than reality. Fake your faith. Sneak around and pretend you are spiritual. And train your children to do the same. Embrace a long list of do's and don'ts and practice them publicly, but not privately. Never own up to your hypocrisy. Act one way, but live another. And if you do, you can count on the fact that the emotional and spiritual damage will occur. Wow. Those are sobering words. When Paul says to Timothy, if you want to be a good soldier of Christ, you need to live faithfully. Your life has to match who you say you are. One who seeks to be a soldier or a servant for Christ must live what they profess. Will they fail at times? Oh, yes. Is there anybody here that never fails? Only Jesus. But by and large, a good soldier seeks to do their very best in living faithfully. Characteristic number two, a good soldier endures hardship. In verse 3, he says, endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. A good soldier endures hardship. Now remember, Paul is giving these instructions to Timothy. And where is Paul right now? He's in prison. He is chained. He's in chains for preaching the gospel. And he says to Timothy, young man, I want you to endure hardship. You are going to suffer. You are going to find yourself straight in the face of opposition. And my friends, let me ask you something. Do you experience opposition for your faith? Do you experience opposition for your service for Jesus Christ? And if the answer to that question is no, that's probably a problem. Because if there is no opposition, if there is nobody putting up a protest against your faith and against your service, it's not very evident. He says, endure hardship. Here's a surprise. Well, not really. The church is no longer viewed with respect. You all knew that, didn't you? There is an opposition. Seems to be a strategic opposition, if I may say that, to stand against the Church of Jesus Christ in our world. A few weeks ago, we had a group of us that gathered outside the municipal building on the National Day of Prayer. And we prayed for our government, for education, for media, for families. All of those points that I prayed for this morning in our prayer time together, they're part of the 7 points of the National Day of Prayer Task Force. And they are things that we ought to be praying for as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. These values that we endear are definitely under attack. The church, Christians outside in our world, face opposition. In addition to opposition from outside, unfortunately, there's often opposition within. Even as we serve inside the church, we face hardship. We face spiritual battles. It's amazing. Over the years, when something good is about to happen, the enemy always launches an attack. Has anybody else noticed that? Anybody notice that besides me? The enemy is always waiting. You know, there have been days that I could just picture Satan stomping up and down outside on the sidewalk, angry because of what's going on inside here. There will always be opposition. And why not? Why should we be any better than Jesus? In Matthew 10, verse 24, Jesus himself said, "A student is not above his teacher. A servant is not above his master." And how was Jesus treated? Was he treated like a king? Was he treated like the Son of God? No, he was despised, he was hated, he was mocked, he was mistrusted, he was beaten, and he was crucified. He was betrayed by those who appeared to be his closest followers. And Jesus said, "My friends, you are not above me. The way that I have been treated, they will treat you." And so Paul, in his wisdom, says to Timothy, endure trials, endure difficulties. You know, sometimes people get the idea that when they place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, everything is going to be problem-free. Everything is going to be just going really smooth, and there won't be any more speed bumps in the road. It's just going to be like a wonderful thing. And yet we know, look at the list, people still get sick. People still have losses. People lose their jobs. People lose loved ones. All kinds of things happen in their lives. And so we should not be surprised that when we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we will face difficulties. So many times we look God in the face and we say, "Why is this happening? How can this be? God, you know, I was in church on Sunday. How can I get a pink slip and being told that I'm laid off until farther notice? I go to church." It's hard for us sometimes to mature and to understand God's purposes in our life for allowing opposition. In John chapter 9 and verse 2, speaking here in the account of the man who was born blind from birth, the disciples of Jesus ask him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" You see, they had a misconception. The misconception was that they caused their own problems. And really, that's not true. Because Jesus answered in verse 3 of that scripture, 9:3, Jesus said, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." Many times we go through trials, we go through hardships, and we go through difficulties. And my friends, it takes endurance. It takes a great deal of endurance. But how many of us could say that difficulty that I went through made me to be a little bit stronger, a little bit wiser? Absolutely. I do a grief share ministry, and one of the lessons talks about the purpose of trials and difficulties. And many gave testimony on that teaching module that say, I'm not the same person I was before I went through that difficult time. For those that keep their eyes focused on the Lord, they're much stronger, much closer to God, as they've learned to endure hardship and rely upon Him. I don't know about you, but sometimes I face difficulties and I think, you know what? I'm going to avoid this. And I work my way around it so I don't need to deal with it. And guess what? Another time, another place, another situation, guess what God does? He brings me right back to that same point. And He says, now, Kevin, this is your test question. Let's see if you can pass it again. And I learned real fast that if I don't pay attention there and do what I need to do, I'm going to be there again anyway, so I might as well just bear up and deal with it. And so we are called upon to endure hardship as a soldier of Christ. Now, how do we do that? It's no fun enduring difficulty outside of the church, inside of the church, and in our own lives. It's no fun. I've been accused of a person who's stress motivated, and I am. I've been accused of creating stress just so I have enough motivation. And sometimes I confess that to be true. But nobody likes being in the thick of hardship and difficulty. How do we endure? Let me give you a secret. Hebrews 12, verses 2 and 3. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you do not grow weary and lose heart. You know that word, endure, that we looked at in 2 Timothy, is the same word here in Hebrews chapter 12. And so when we are called upon to endure hardship, we need to fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and keep our eyes on Him. Characteristic 3. A good soldier pleases Christ. In verse 4, it says, no one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs, but he wants to please his commanding officer. The goal of a good soldier is to please the commanding officer. And my friends, as a soldier of Jesus Christ, He is your commander-in-chief. We do not serve to please men. That would be impossible. We have some retired pastors here. One is away with his family this week, but I'm sure the other would clearly testify after 50 years of ministry. Who's the commanding officer? Could you please everybody in your congregation? Never. We all have different opinions, so we can't please everyone. So there's only one that we should be seeking to please, and that is the Lord. We need to remember that sometimes as we serve, because those famous seven words spoken by the church, that's not the way we've done it, can become very discouraging. And in the face of opposition and hardship, a good soldier must understand who he is serving. As I was sensing a call to ministry in my life, as my son was sensing a call to ministry in his life, as Rob was laboring through his call to ministry, something that always comes to mind, some wisdom that was given to me. And I was told, you need to make sure that the reason that you are going to serve the Lord in pastoral ministry is because you have been called to be there by the Lord. And why is that important? Because some days, when the opposition inside and outside and on every side is almost unbearable, there's one thing that stands evident, that you are there because the Lord placed you there. That's the only thing that perseveres. And so we need to have our eyes focused on the Lord, seeking to please Him and following His commands. Now, my friends, what are His commands? What has He told us to do? Well, the Bible is filled with commands and teaching, but Jesus, in His wisdom, summed them up for us, condensed them, even so somebody like me can understand what they are. And in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and following, Jesus said, "Love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." And so the first thing that we need to be thinking about doing in pleasing God is loving Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving one another. Not only our neighbors, but our enemies. Loving difficult situations, difficult people. We are to love God and love others. And then secondly, we're commanded, the next greatest purpose that Jesus gave us is that we are to take that same love and teach it to other people. And in Matthew 28, very familiar words, it says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." This is our focus. This is the job that we have been called to do. Incidentally, let me give you a commercial. For those of you that attend Sunday school, and for those of you that never attend Sunday school, I want to slip in a commercial right here. Isn't that nice? Fit right in. I didn't even have it in my notes. But beginning next week, I'm going to be teaching a class here in the sanctuary during the Sunday school time from 9:30 to about 10 after 10. On how to build relationships with individuals, specifically unbelieving individuals, and how to just live a life faithfully before them, and for the role that we have in helping them to come to find Jesus as Savior. And so there's the commercial. But anyway, we need to face and look at and keep our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in the face of opposition, we are able to stand and stand firm. My friends, there will always be grumbling. There will always be backbiting. And you know what I tell you, and I say it over and over again? Whenever there's these little fires that spring up here and there, it's because we're not loving the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourself. Rather, we're seeking selfishness. As a good soldier, we need to have our eyes fixed on the commanding officer and not ourselves. Whether you know it or not, I recently completed 10 years of ministry here at Bethany, and it has been a blessing. It has been a great joy. But for those of you that were here way back, how many of you were here 10 years ago? Okay. Those were the folks that were here 10 years ago. Have you noticed any changes in 10 years? Lots. Lots. And we have changed so many things. You know, in the face of that's not the way we've always done it, we have changed it anyhow. And you know how we've done that? By loving each other. By loving each other. And by wanting to reach a community for Jesus Christ more than wanting it our way. That's the way it is. My friends, it's been a great joy to serve. and to see God transform many of our lives, yours and mine, and to see the ministry move outside of the bricks and mortar. We do more outside of the walls of this church than we do inside anymore. And that's good. There's a word for that. What's the word? Thank you. Say it louder, Dars. Missional. And that's what we're about. That's what we need to be doing. There is still a community of lost people here. I would like to personally thank you for being a good soldier. I would thank those of you that are able to take self and set it aside. Clarabelle, I'm going to embarrass you. I'm sorry if I do. One day, Clarabelle was having her pacemaker replaced. Clarabelle is 90 plus. She was having her pacemaker replaced. And she said to me, Reverend, I have to tell you, I'm not really thrilled with all of the music that we do at Bethany. But I remember when I didn't know if the doors would stay open. And now I look around and I see all of the people that are there and they're happy to sing. I don't often sing some of the new songs, Pastor, but my heart is blessed when I see people excited to worship Jesus. Amen is right. That is the heart. That is the heart of many of you folks. I say sometimes, I should have a poster of Clarabelle. She should be our poster child for accepting the things that need to change sometimes in order to reach our community for Jesus Christ. God bless those of you that have continued to do that. And we will move forward by God's grace. We will do it as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. If we live faithfully. Ever talk to somebody about the Lord and the first word out of their mouth, of course, after they talk about floods and dinosaurs and everything else, is the hypocrites that they know, right? You want to reach people for Jesus? Live what you say you believe. That's the greatest testimony. Your transformed life, living before them. Will you endure hardship? Yes. You will endure hardship to those that do not know Christ because the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that do not believe. You will endure hardship. When you come up with something new and different and you want to do it within the church, will you endure opposition? You better believe it. Because somebody certainly will say that's not the way we've always done it. And then, there's only one thing left to do. Keep your eyes on the commanding officer and realize that we're not serving to please ourselves. At least I hope not. We're not serving to get the approval of men and women, boys and girls. We need to be serving to serve the Lord and Him only. He's the one that gives us the marching orders. He's the one that provides the opportunities for ministry. He's the one that gives us the spiritual gifts and the talents to serve Him. And so we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And my friends, that's what it is to be a good soldier. And so, as we close, ask the first question of yourself. Are you a good soldier of Christ? Are you living faithfully? Are you enduring hardship? Are you living to please Christ? Final question is this. Which of these characteristics do you need to further develop in your life? And I want to be honest with you. We probably do not have, each one of us probably does not have, in fact, there is probably none of us, I'll go that far, that can put A plus after every one of those characteristics. We all fall short. And by God's grace, that grace in which we stand, God's Spirit that indwells our lives can transform us to be the person that is fitted and equipped to serve with all of our heart. Father, thank you for your word. For your word that is even appropriate to our hearts this day. Father, help us to really realize what the battle is. To realize what our purpose is. Help us, Father, to live as faithful soldiers, being strong in our faith and in our love for you, loving you more than loving ourselves, loving you more than loving our own way, loving others, overlooking the multitude of sins. Help us, Father, to persevere even in hardship, even in strong opposition, to know that we are serving you, knowing that Jesus was not beyond anything that we could ever experience because he experienced it all. May we live to please Christ, living in obedience, loving with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving others, and then teaching others to do the same. Father, help each one of us, even as we think about those soldiers, the men and women that served our nation, may we be reminded that we are called to be a faithful and good soldier of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. For this service, for this time that we've had to focus our thoughts upon our nation and Lord upon you. And Lord, we would ask that indeed that you would bless this nation. But Father, we would also ask that as we live our lives, that we would bless you as well. Dismiss us with your blessing upon our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.